Welcome to KPOO San Francisco 89.5. Up next is Reality Sandwich. Listen to some great music and hit us up after the break. We'll be right back.
You're listening to KPOO 89.5 San Francisco. This is Reality Sandwich. I'm your host, Dr. Ray Farrick Biggs. And today we have a very special couple guests in the studio with us. Micah Retz and Hollis Campbell are two quadriplegics. And they are here today. We're going to be talking about some new spinal cord regenerative research that's being done. And we'll just have them right here and have them introduce themselves. Hey, Micah, how's it going?
I'm doing well.
Good.
I'm doing great. Happy to be here. And it's Hollis Cameron.
Hollis, I'm sorry.
No problem.
Yeah.
Hollis Cameron in the house.
All right. So I'll let you guys kind of introduce yourselves and just tell us a little bit about your background and what you guys are up to.
My name is Micah Retz, and I am 37, a father of three. I had my own landscaping company and was a avid athlete, outdoorsman, lots of climbing and skydiving. And almost 3 years ago now, I suffered a spinal cord injury diving into shallow water. It was one of the less extreme things I was doing. But, you know, that's what you learn with spinal cord injuries. You never know what's going to happen.
That's true.
And it happens to everybody. We all have spinal cords. So,
so true. And Hollis, tell us a little bit about yourself and a little bit about your injury.
Sure, yeah. I grew up in San Diego, California, and I was a pretty extreme kid growing up as well. Did a lot of surfing, snowboarding, downhill skateboarding, all that type of thing. And when I was 17, I was rolling down a hill in a trash can with some buddies, just kind of joking around.
Wow.
And took a bad bounce and ended up breaking my neck as well. And it was a C3, C4 level injury.
And, wow.
Amazing.
Yeah.
But the amazing thing is Hollis is walking, which is...
I got really lucky with my injury. It was an incomplete injury, and it was but it was really serious to start with. But after the swelling died down, I just every point in my recovery where something could go bad or good, it always went good, and I just continued to see more and more improvement over time. So it was a really fortunate situation for you know how intense it was to start with.
Right.
Yeah. Wow.
Well, great. Well, we're really excited to have you guys up here from San Diego and share with the listeners a little bit about why you're up here in the Bay Area.
We're actually up here supporting a fundraiser that's going to be taking place tonight, which will be supporting a new research called, what did they call it again, Cameron? It's
Cortical Spinal Tract Regeneration Project.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a kind of a long name there for it. It's basically a P10 knockdown is what they're calling it. And they've discovered that there's a gene floating around in our brain called P10, which is a tumor inhibitor. Dr. Zigang He? Dr. Zigang He came up with the idea that this tumor could be what's not allowing certain things in our body to regenerate or grow. There's only a few certain things in our body that doesn't naturally regenerate, and that's been the struggle with spinal cord injuries for 30 years, you know, in general,
right.
People have been researching it.
Yeah, it's a really exciting time because the whole challenge with spinal cord injury, when you ask the top people in the field, is that these axons in your spinal cord don't regenerate. So that's kind of been the challenge for literally since people have known about spinal cord injuries. And for the first time in literally in human history, Zigang He out of Harvard University was able to regenerate these axons. So it's really incredible stuff. It's really exciting. And and Mike and I are both really fortunate to kind of be right in kind of the epicenter of it all, which is a great place to be for people with injuries.
Wow, that is really exciting. And it's amazing. So was this research or the way they discovered it, was it intentional or was it accidental or what? Kind of just give us some background if you know how much you guys know about it.
It wasn't intentional for the axon nerve in the spine. Zigang was actually wanting to regenerate the optic nerve to the eye. Mm. And then he sort of put the two together that the nerve tracks were so similar. And did he see it come about or he sort of anticipated that it would be the same and then further went on to discover that? Hollis might know more on that one.
I think it was kind of a step. Like, let's see if it works right in the optic nerve, you know. And then once he had proven it in the optic nerve, I know Dr. Stuart Oswald got a hold of that paper that Zigang published and was like, wow, this is really incredible stuff. Will this work in spinal cord? So I think Dr. Oswald Stuart really started pushing Zigang to see if they could bring it into the spinal cord and see if it would work there. And what they found was that it was actually worked just as well in the spinal cord of different mice. And I always get it confused, rats or mice. I don't know the difference on which
potato. Potato.
Yeah,
I think rats are usually a little bit bigger than mice, but who knows?
Mice are cuter.
Yeah,
rats are scarier.
But no, that's great. I mean, that's very exciting. And Dr. Stuart, is he down in UC Irvine? Is that right?
Yeah, yep. At the Irvine Research Center.
Uh-huh.
As far as I know, he sort of oversees all the departments in there and has his own. You know, has his own that he's working on the P10 with. One of the best things that for us with spinal cord injuries with this research is that it benefits people with long-term injuries, where with a lot of stuff they've done with stem cell, they haven't been able to turn that on to grow, which is what we need in the long-term injuries. Mm. They've done a lot for helping people out within the first 2 weeks of having an injury.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So assisting in their natural regeneration, but not actually really regenerating that nerve tract that needs to grow. And they, you know, when it's turned on, they just watch it grow all in and around and through the lesion.
Wow.
Which is just simply amazing. They have photos of it, you know, different colored photos, which you can see the different nerve tracts and spinal cord.
That is really exciting. Yeah, I wasn't quite aware of that. That so people with long-term injuries, this is actually a real possibility.
Yeah.
Yeah, amazing. Fantastic. So go ahead.
I was just holding in case I had something I had to say.
Awesome. So tell the listeners a little bit about you guys are up here doing a fundraiser that's happening this evening, correct?
Yes.
That's great. And we're going to be
give us the location, give us the premise.
The one thing we can't say is how much
it costs.
Yeah, exactly. That's the one thing that we're not allowed to say, but you can otherwise share.
That how much the fundraiser costs?
Yeah.
Is that what you're saying? Yeah.
Yeah, like we can't say tickets are X amount.
Yeah. Well, the fundraiser itself, actually this event that we're going to is not open to the public. It's got all of its guests already there. It's reached its full quota or whatever you'd say of, you know, maximum occupancy of people.
Nice.
But there are ways to donate. And a good thing for people to know is that in the beginning of this research, which is hard to understand until you get involved and know these scientists, that they have to raise money in the private sector until they finish an initial amount of things, you know, research-wise and show what they're doing. Then they might be able to try to access money by other means. So a lot of this falls on the responsibility of people who know somebody with a spinal cord injury, somebody with a spinal cord injury, or people that are just concerned and want to help.
Mm-hmm.
And right now they're in the stage of there's three studies they need to do, and each one of them costs $500,000. And they can do all three of them simultaneously. Each one takes about a year.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we know as every year we go by, I mean, it's hard. You know, it's hard being a quad. And the sooner this gets to us, you know, the better. And these three projects especially, the quicker they get the money in, they'll be done sooner. And so that's a big goal that they've been working on right now. And I think they're about halfway there.
Wow, that's great.
Yeah, so they're done with the first study. So if the money was to just flood in, we would be looking at just another year. Where if the money keeps trickling in, we're looking at, you know, another 2 years as long as that money keeps coming in.
Is there a website that people can log on to help out?
Yeah, there is. Do you have that information, Hollis?
We'll get that information as soon as it comes up in the World Wide Web.
We donate to the Reeve Irvine Research Center, but you want to make sure you donate to the right department because they have so many different labs working.
Right.
And everything is valuable in spinal cord injury, but this is nothing has ever been seen like this before, and it really, really needs to be get done sooner, you know, so we can get on with the research.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this P10 research is relatively new, correct?
Yeah. Very new as far as the axon nerve is concerned.
Sure.
From what I've learned, they've actually been doing P10 and gene-type therapies for quite a while.
Okay.
But it's only – when did C-Gang figure – was that in like 08?
The paper that was published when they finally had all their results kind of cleared and were ready to share this with the scientific community, the paper was published 4 or 5 months ago.
Like, oh, wow.
Really current
stuff. Fresh.
Like really cutting edge. Like one of the interesting things about this fundraiser, it's a great fundraiser being organized by Brad Wentz because his son had a spinal cord injury recently, and we can talk about that story in a bit. But what was I explaining?
We're just talking about the research paper.
And so there's going to be some things revealed at this at this fundraiser that they don't necessarily want national media getting a hold of, because it's really important that these scientists are able to develop what they're working on. And so there's kind of, I'm not sure the details of it, but it's really, really cutting edge stuff. Like it's absolutely on the edge of the field.
That's extremely exciting. I mean, I'm excited about that possibility because you hear so much news about stem cell research, and I think in the end, but there's probably gonna be some kind of combination of different therapies.
Exactly. Yeah.
Right.
I would believe so. Definitely a cocktail of things going on. We were just at Reeve Irvine Center on Thursday for Meet the Scientist Day. And there was another doctor there, Jerry Silver. Jerry Silver, and he's actually doing some really amazing stuff, but more on the surgical end. He's finding nerves that in the body, long nerve tracts that don't do very much, and he's actually pulling them out of different parts of your body and plugging them in to the spine.
Wow.
Yeah, above and below lesions. And obviously you're creating a new scar tissue, though, so what's working really well with his is that he's found a way to knock down scars that are forming and have actual successful, connections, you know, and they're sort of speculating. And so everything is we're still really in the baby steps of things that they're really trying to figure out combinations, you know, they're anticipating what will work well with other things. Mm-hmm. But hopefully, I mean, on my part, I hope that P10 itself is just such an amazing regeneration that, you know, we wouldn't have to do those surgeries and stuff, but you never really know, you know, time goes on.
Yeah, I'm kind of curious. I used to go to Meet the Scientist. I went for like 3 years when I was down in San Diego, and that's where Mike and I first met, was at San Diego at Awakenings Health Institute, which is an amazing institute for people to get all different types of therapies, alternative and traditional therapies. So,
can I say something real quick?
Sure.
On that note, speaking of therapy, I mean, anybody out there that's listening that has a spinal cord injury, or if you know anybody that does, honestly, the reality is this is coming in our lifetime. A medical procedure that's going to help get us some sort of recovery, even if it's 2-3 vertebrae, whatever. So the most important thing we can do, we know as human beings in general, but especially with the spinal cord injury, is to stay active, doing as much therapy as you possibly can. Keep your hands stretched. Don't let your hands get to the point where you can't move them, because that'll be one of the major things they're trying to regenerate, you know, and probably one of the first things to regenerate, you know, and as far as it's concerned, you know, in a quadriplegic. But that's the best thing we can do for ourselves.
Right.
And it's going to make the recovery even better after a procedure, too.
And adding to that, the paralyzed people that I've worked with, and Rafe, one of the things we focus on is, let's work those legs, man. Don't let them atrophy down. You know, don't look at them as something that's dead. keep those suckers pumping, keep those nerves going, keep the signals sending, because you never know what's 10 years down the road, 5 years down the road. Mm-hmm, and if you're all atrophied and like your hands, if you're not using them and they're stuck, and then that medicine comes along that can help you, you're at a disadvantage. But if you're still healthy in those areas, even though you can't feel them, then something comes along, you're right in there.
Yeah.
And there are resources here in the Bay Area, too, for people that do live here. There's a facility called SCI Fit out in Pleasanton, and they do a lot of, using a lot of exercise-based recovery, very similar to Awakening's Health Institute. And then, the other thing that I do is I go to UC Berkeley in the gym. They have an upper tone machine. And the upper tone is a great device that you can do workout, your upper body. You can do it all completely on your own. You don't need any assistance. And then there's other devices, too. I have at home, I have an FES bike.
Is that through stimulus, like through electrical stimulation?
No, it's not electrical stimulation. It's you can check out an upper tone. Just type in upper tone on the internet. It's an actual weight machine that has tri-pins, so you don't need any kind of grip. And you can do rows. You can do bench press. You can do lat pull downs, deltoids, bi-press curls. And you can adjust the weight all on your own. So I can go there by myself and work out for an hour and then do some cardio work on the hand cycle. And so, those are kind of resources that are available if you're in the Bay Area. It's like less than, I think, $25 a month for the gym membership. And there's a lot of other equipment there that isn't as accessible. But, there are things out there, and I just want to make people aware of that.
Yeah, that's very important, I think, just for a standard of living also. Just to keep ourselves healthy. The more we move around, the better.
Just some quick information for the listeners. Two contacts that you can make to get more information about what we're talking about today. Sending emails with questions, advice, anything to tcusack@uci.edu. Once again, that's tcusack@uci.edu. That's going to be your best bet in getting some interpersonal contact and getting the ball rolling. If you have any questions, comments, want some more knowledge, so send emails to that person.
Mm-hmm. Awesome.
Is that somewhere where they can donate to? Or
yeah, that's Tanya Cusack, who's the director of community development at the Reeves Irvine Research Center. Really, really nice, total sweetheart, and great contact for more information about what they're doing there.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. Good. Well, what else is going on with you guys? Like personally, what are you guys up to in your life when you're not doing fundraising and raising awareness for spinal cord injury? What else do you guys like to do? Just kind of curious. Okay.
Can I step up?
Yeah, sure.
We're actually going to take a quick break, listen to some music while we in the studio handle our problems and fun. So listen to this track. It's a good one. It's from Scream. He's going to be actually in the Bay Area next month, and he makes slight unannounced visits to Ritual Dubsteps on Thursday. So
all right.
Here you go. Check this out.
Welcome back to KPOO 89.5. This is Reality Sandwich with Rafe Eric Biggs, and we're joined in the studio today with Micah and Hollis, who are both quadriplegics. They're up here. We were talking on the break a little bit about, you know, living with a spinal cord injury has so many different challenges that probably a lot of people, you know, never realize or kind of take for granted. But we're just talking a little bit about some of the different things that, you know, that are possible and kind of what the recovery process is like. And Hollis was sharing with me a little bit about that journey and kind of going through all these different phases that one does go through. Maybe, Hollis, you can speak a little bit more about what you were just sharing with me earlier.
Yeah, sure. I mean, I have a really unique injury because I was paralyzed from literally from the neck down. I had a C3, C4 injury, which is really high up. And so I couldn't move or feel anything from my neck down at all. And so it took me a good 2 months where I was laying in the hospital where the only thing I could move enough to even call my nurses was this. I had a halo on, and in the halo there was a button rigged up next to my cheek, and I would push my tongue against my cheek to call my nurses, and that was, you know, the only thing I could move enough to call them. So I've had a steady recovery through every stage. So I'm really, you know, it's a great situation to be in when talking with other people with injuries because, like, you know, in Micah's situation, like, I've been in Micah's shoes, you know, thank God, you know, briefly, you know, I was in Micah's shoes maybe for 5 months.
Right.
You know, and so it's like, I'm really glad that I phased out of there. But I mean, one of the things we were talking about over the break with do you want me to share the story?
Yeah. Go right ahead.
So I had with a spinal cord injury, you know, one of the things people don't like to think about much is bowel and bladder control. And it's probably one of our favorite topics to talk about because we get a lot of
it's really important.
Yeah, we get a lot of really funny stories out of it. But about 9 months to a year, I can't remember exactly after my injury, I started being able to pee on my own, kind of. So I went in to see my urologist, and they had me pee in this contraption of a toilet that measures your flow and some other, I don't know, variables. And basically, it prints out the results, and they had me sitting in the waiting room, and I'm sitting in the waiting room, and then I hear from their office, I start hearing cheering and clapping, and they're super excited.
That's awesome.
And I'm thinking to myself, like, oh, man, what is it? I mean, that must be good. And then they came in. They were like, you have, normal pee flow, and you're good to go. You don't have to cath anymore. And that was, like, you know, one of the best things they could have told me, you know, to get that out of my daily routine was just a huge quality of life improvement. So it's really, really fortunate there.
Yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah, people might not understand that that being able to pee on your own is, for a quadriplegic, is a huge road to independence. If you can take care of that, I still at this time have 24-hour a day caregiving.
Yeah.
And if I can figure out how to not have to deal with cathing, using a catheter throughout the day, I can be independent from the time that I'm gotten up and dressed and drive a vehicle. I mean, there's so many things we can do, but then something so simple of a task, as you would think, to urinate, you know, can hold you up from being independent, you know, being alone.
Yeah, these are things that I used to call my daily indignities, you know.
Right.
You have these things you have to deal with every day. That it's like, if I can just knock this one off the list, you know, I'm going to be that much more independent.
Yeah, Rafe, why don't you share with the listeners the recent surgery you had and how that's helped you gain so much
independence? Yeah, I mean, I was just thinking about that because there are other, you know, alternatives. And I just want people, if anybody out there who doesn't have a spinal cord injury, because when I was first injured, they basically, you know, the doctors and nurses told me the intermittent cathing was the best route to take. And I'll be honest, it, you know, in some ways, it, depending who you talk to, it is good. It supposedly has the least amount of urinary tract infections. But for me, I wanted to be independent. And, you know, having to have a caregiver around all the time just to take a pee was not helping with my independence. So.
And also costing a lot of money.
Oh, and costing a lot of money, too, exactly. So I went recently and a few months ago, got what's called a suprapubic.
Suprapubic.
Suprapubic. It's actually supra. And yeah, I say suprapubic catheter. And basically what that is the my urologist actually takes me in and put me out and made a little incision right above my pubic bone. And they insert a catheter inside into my bladder, At the end of that catheter is a little balloon that inflates, which holds the catheter in, and then that little rubber tubing comes out, hooks up to a leg bag. And so throughout the day then, when my bladder starts to fill up, the urine just kind of flows out right into my leg bag, and when that gets full, I can reach down, flip a little valve, and empty it right in the toilet, and I'm good to go. And I have to do that maybe, you know, once, twice a day in between the time I have somebody come in and help me get up in the morning till I go to bed. So that's given me a tremendous amount of independence. And, you know, the thing is that when the cure does come down the road, they can take that tube out. It'll heal back up, maybe a little bit of a scar. But for the most part, that's given me a lot more independence.
And you've also started to sleep through the night because you don't have to worry about cathing yourself
every
3 hours.
Yeah, last night I pretty much slept the whole night.
Wow, yeah, that would be nice.
Yeah, exactly. I used to wake up, you know, 2 to 3 times a night and then cath. And so giving me a tremendous amount more independence. So that's there are options out there, and there are, you know, hopefully there, it sounds like there are better things down the road as well.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's what we're looking forward to.
Exactly.
For sure.
And there are pros and cons with you know the different ways to do it too. Like when I had the catheter in the hospital for a while, I had a calcium buildup that built up on it, and then I ended up having a bladder stone, and then we had to deal with that. You know, and so it's like you know there's pros and cons of all the applications, and that's one of the reasons I think why Micah and I and so many else in the you know spinal cord community are just so excited to really see breakthroughs in science because, you know, it's very realistic with kind of what's happening in biology today that, you know, we're right on the edge of really getting this stuff done. Every researcher I've talked to, Micah and I have, you know, had the honor and of interviewing different scientific researchers in the spinal cord field the last couple months, and every single one of them say it's really not a matter of if, it's a matter of when.
Right.
And we're really not talking, you know, huge periods of time anymore. It's like the majority of the work's been done, and now it's just kind of fine-tuning these breakthroughs.
Yeah, I think that's something very important too for people to realize is that if we're talking about another 10 years, look at the scope of mankind and look at the scope of this research. They've been looking into, you know, this type of research for 100 years now. You know, 30 years very, very seriously. And, you know, we're talking about a short period of time for humankind. That was another thing that I wanted to say, too, that I felt was very important. I think for people that are in a chair now, we sort of feel, whether we even get out of the chair in our lifetime or not, it's our responsibility to help out. And something that I feel, too, is, you know, for anybody out there, you know, that's listening to this, the reality is, yes, we all have spinal cords. Anybody can suffer from this at any point. And you know, and as a deed, you know, a good deed to humankind, not just to feel sympathetic for us in the chairs, we've already learned how to deal with it. Most of us, you know, in some ways it might have really helped us advance in life, you know, because it really makes us push through and we see the rewards and the benefits of pushing harder and trying. But, I mean, if for me, you know, I really want to save somebody else the suffering that you go through. I mean, the reality is the day in and day out, the trials, the pain is unbelievable. You know, I never had even thought that before, that a spinal cord injury meant that you just weren't feeling, you know, it's basically you don't feel sensation, but you feel all kinds of pain.
All kinds of pain every day.
I'm
sitting here and my back is hurting as we speak, you know?
Yeah.
So it's just like, I mean, there are so many things, and I think you're right. It's like whether if you're completely able-bodied and healthy, that's great, and I used to was healthy my entire life, but then in an instant, everything changed. So you know, it's really I think important that you do consider you know making a donation.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah, because this is a cause for all human beings, and it affects everybody. When it happens, you know, we don't know. It's not, you know, I mean, it's, you know, Hollis and I have something in common, you know, that we were both, you know, outdoor athletes, but it happens to people in every avenue in life, to even to just degenerative things. Actually, this fundraiser for Zach, he was walking, you know, off the mountain, you know, with his skis in his hands and slipped and fell on his back and got bleeding on his spine, not even realizing. Did it take a few months before?
Yeah, it was like 6 weeks. It was about 6 weeks later.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
So, you know, I mean, the simplest things, you know, this is a healthy teenage boy that, you know, had a simple fall. The spine is just so sensitive. And, you know, I think if we can if we can find a cure. And that's the reality. That's what we're really, you know, that's our statement here, is that we're working for the cure. And the cure is out there. We are so close, and we can really help out everybody by
And people can help out by reaching into their pockets and throwing some money down.
Exactly.
Show how much you care by throwing some money down for people who need it. Like we've been saying, and I'm going to stress it again, the technology's there. We have the science. We can already do these things. We need money for it.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a couple other places people can go to donate money. Research for Cure is a website. It's been a nonprofit for about 9 years. They've been supporting spinal cord research. They support stem cell, and now they're supporting P10 that they've learned that also. You know, if you go to their website and find the ways you can donate and learn more about the research, and just simply with any of it, you know, make sure you put a note into that you wanting to support P10. P10 is so vital right now. That is the key. That is the door that has now been unlocked. And, you know, we've just got to keep walking through it, go through the other side and you know, discover and keep pushing it out, you know, so we get what we need. There's also a fundraiser that I started is a skydiving fundraiser, because I was a skydiver. And it is at skydiveparis.com. You can go to skydiveparis.com anytime and donate money through them. They did something really awesome for us, and they're going to keep it going year-round indefinitely. If you go there and you want to participate and be part of that cause, they will send you sponsorship forms, tax ID receipts, and you can go around and raise as much money as you can. If you raise a minimum of $250, you get a free tandem with them, which is an amazing gift. If you want to use it or don't use it, you know, or give it to somebody else, they have also one of the 4 best wind tunnels in the world there. You can raise money and they'll give you wind tunnel time, you know, which is just so amazing. The Skydive Paris is just awesome what they're doing for us.
That's rad.
Yeah.
Say again, the first website was researchforcure.com?
Yeah, researchforcure, yep.
.com?
Yep.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, so make sure you guys check out all those websites and make a donation.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Reeve Irvine Research Center is where this is all taking place, and skydiveparis.com.
So what else? We have about maybe about 5-10 minutes left. What are some other experiences you want to share with the listeners, either fun, exciting experiences or challenging experiences?
Well, you know, I just got back from Durango on a ski trip, and I've heard from other people say before that skiing is one of the coolest things you can do being disabled, and it was. Oh, my God. Me, with the limited amount of control that I have, the reality is I was probably doing, you know, 5% of it. You know, there's a skier behind you who's doing a good 95-98% of what you're doing, but he's behind you and you can't see him. And you initiate everything with your own body, and they kind of follow through with what you want to do and control your ski, the sit ski you're sitting in. And, oh, man, it was fun. It was so much fun.
Yeah, it's awesome. I went about three, four years ago. I went to Durango through the Kiwanis Club, and it was so much fun. I mean, I really felt like I got like a full body workout as well.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
It was amazing. Yeah, and I felt like I could initiate you know, a fair amount. And even though I did have the same kind of probably experience as you,
yeah,
somebody else was helping me. But just being on the mountain and just feeling the wind in your face, it just makes you feel so alive.
Oh, and being with the folks there are awesome. They're people of like minds. They're very outdoors people. They really enjoy life. They're really having fun. And they're extremely inspired to see folks, you know, like us in our situation not give up and still want to get out there and have a good time. They're also really good place to support, you know, if anybody ever wants to. That program is completely funded by, you know, people making donations. And one of the cool things I learned about them, they're ASA Durango. ASA Durango, they have over 300 volunteers at their program. They're the most least funded. They're the least funded disabled program on a mountain, you know, at a resort in the United States. And the top funded one in Colorado does about 450 skis a year. Means they take about 450 people that they ski a year. At Durango, the least funded, you know, in the U.S., they take 1,400 skiers a year.
Wow.
And that's because of the people there. That's because of that town. That's because they have 300 volunteers
that's
that care,
awesome.
That really care and make it fun. It was just incredible. My experience there was just, I loved it. It
I think, too, it's about just getting out there and doing things that are interesting and fun. So many people I know in chairs kind of limit themselves by thinking, mm-hmm. Oh, I'm in a chair. I'm effed. I can't do anything anymore. There's no more fun. But working with Rafe and working with others, there's skiing, there's skydiving, there's dancing, there's yoga, there's everything. You just got to find something that's exciting. Go do it.
Yep. There's for those of you in the Bay Area, there is an organization called BORP, BORP.org, stands for Bay Area Outreach Programs. And they put on all kinds of different things, from hand cycling to ice hockey to power chair soccer,
murder ball,
yeah, quad rugby, yoga. They do all kinds of things. So check out their website. There's a lot of really cool things you can do right here in the Bay Area. They also do, they partner with other organizations, something called Access Adventure, and they take people out camping. They take people to high Sierras. So, you know, there are a lot of cool things. You might thought, you know what, there's not many things I can do. There are a lot of things available. So make sure you check out BORP and see what's possible.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a very interesting point. Because I think one thing I've ran into with my injury, I haven't been injured that long, and I'll run into old friends in my town or people, you know, that used to be clients of mine. And a lot of thing they say is, oh, I'm so happy to see you finally up or finally out. They don't realize even quadriplegic for the quad injury. You know, as soon as you're in rehab, right out of the operating room, they've got you up in a chair and you're going out and you're doing things. We're not laying in bed for the rest of our lives. I don't know where people really get that image from. We're still out there and very active. You know, even if you weren't, you know, a very active person before,
right.
You know, you can get out there and be very active. And for the most part, I think a lot of us are, you know.
Yeah, it's awesome. Well, there's lots of cool things to check out. And go ahead.
Well, one of the cool things, if people want to check out some more information about this research, how Micah and I teamed up was, I own a video production company down in San Diego called Succinct Productions. And we just finished the video literally a couple of days ago. And so we haven't got it up on the Reeves Irvine Research website yet. But you can check it out at our website, which is www.succinctproductions.com. That's S-U-C-C-I-N-C-T productions.com. And it's an 8-minute video that is really informative and really spells out a lot of the science. And this is, you know, interviews with some of the top researchers in the world on this topic. So it's very informative. And I'd highly recommend anybody that's interested in this to check this out. And it'll give you resources there in the video as well, on how to donate and how to get involved.
How else can our listeners get in direct contact with either one of you or the things that you guys are doing?
Well, I own Succinct Productions, and we have a contact page right there. Feel free to just drop us a line. I mean, I'll call you back. I mean, that's just me right there. And for Micah, I don't know how you want to extend yourself out.
Well, I'm on Facebook. You know, you can always go through Facebook, Micah Retz, and... I would imagine through Skydive Paris, you know, Research for Cure, those types of places. You know, and anything anybody can do too, you know, if you don't, that's how it worked for me is, you know, when I met Bob and I saw what was going on with this research, that was one of my first questions was, okay, I can see you guys need money, but I didn't get a lawsuit. I didn't do something
hurting
myself or I have a lot of money. So what can I do to help? And that's why I started my own fundraiser. And that's what's led me to meet Hollis and meet all these wonderful people and really be proactive. We need to be our own advocates. You know, even with this research taking place, we can make so much more happen if we push it through. You know, we say we want these human studies now. You know, we don't have to go through all these other, you know, avenues if we really, you know, push for that. There's a lot we can do by getting involved.
Yes. I mean, something I'd like to add to that. In my recovery, something that was really difficult for me was for a long time, I didn't want to admit that I had any kind of disability, and that kind of restricted me from reaching out and getting in touch with other people who are in chairs, other people with quadriplegia or paraplegia. And honestly, one of the best things I did in my life was kind of knocking down that door and really opening that up. And so I think the more you know, people who are in similar situations can really connect, the more you're going to find these great opportunities to further the cause as well as find exciting things to do in your community and really improve your quality of life. So if that's something that you're dealing with out there, I mean, you know, just do your very best to try to let it go.
That's great.
Yeah, I'll just mention a couple things for those of you in the Bay Area that have spinal cord injuries. There's a spinal cord support group in Berkeley that is the very first Thursday of the month. It's at the Alta Bates Herrick Hospital. And then also I run a support group on sexuality and disability, which is the second Wednesday of the month at the Ed Roberts campus. And then any of the listeners that want to get in touch with me directly, they can go to Soma Evolution, SOMAEvolution.org. And also I'm offering a complimentary somatic coaching session. So if anybody's interested in doing coaching, please hit me up there and we'll schedule something.
Anyone looking to do some yoga, anyone with disabilities looking to do some yoga therapy, integrated body work, you can check out my website. It's rudayoga.com, R-U-D-D-H-A. Big event coming up on the 9th of April, another installment of Ohm Base, my production company. And again, flying in from Germany will be the amazing, mysterious, devotional auditory artist, Ohm Bear. So please look out for that. Thanks for listening today. Great show, guys. Thanks for coming
to the
studio.
Yeah, thanks, guys.
And we will be back in 2 weeks.
Yeah, we'll be back on the first Thursday.
All right. Reality Sandwich, checking out. Have a great week, guys.
All right. Peace out.
Ooh.